Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
This is Robert Greeno. General quarters. All hands on your battle station.
Welcome to Midrats with Sal from Commander Salamander and Eagle One from Eagle Speak at Sea or Shore, your home for a discussion of national security issues and all things maritime. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today for an abbreviated but special Boxing Day edition of Midrats. Everything's pre-recorded today, and as opposed to having a full hour, today's show is just going to be a little bit more than 15 minutes. But I think it's going to be worth it. I will open up the chat room, so if you're joining us live, hop back in there. And hopefully there'll be a couple people you can add your observations with. Now, after I get through my intro, the recording that follows is going to be a little rough. The reason it's rough, it was recorded on an iPhone sitting on a table back in the cheap seat. Though, if you listen carefully and adjust your volume where needed, I think you're going to get a pretty good listen, and it's well worth the effort. This fall, and how this reporting came to be, Admiral James Stavridis, who is the SACEUR over in NATO, he gave a keynote address in Annapolis at the United States Naval Institute Honors Night, and he titled it Whispers on the Wall. And the topic is about writing and also a writer, and I think it touches on really well the role of free-thinking individuals in our society and in our military and how they contribute to things going forward. And I think you're going to get a lot from it, even if you're not a writer. But maybe you'll know somebody who is thinking of being one and you can encourage them, because it's through the written word and through the creative friction that comes from writing about topics and responding to other people that I think we get closer to resolving a lot of the challenges we're addressed with every single day. And I would mostly like to thank Admiral Stavridis. I sent him a note and to ask his permission to use this recording for this episode. He gave us a thumbs up on that. So to Admiral Stavridis, thank you very much for allowing us to do this and to share this with our listeners. Before we get to it, though, I want to, on behalf of Eagle One and myself, and those that have helped us out on Midrat, and I hope everybody had a safe and enjoyable Christmas season so far, and this weekend, weather and all, found everybody well and where they needed to be. Next week, we're going to have a best of, but on the 9th of January, we're going to have a one-year anniversary special for the show, full 2 hours live with an expanded panel, and the panel is not going to address any one subject or any one topic. We're going to discuss what the panel finds interesting. In addition to Eagle One and myself, our expanded panel are going to be regulars here that everybody should be familiar with. We're going to have Galvin from Over with Information Dissemination, along with Brian McGrath, Captain Henry J. Hendricks, Jr., and Lieutenant Commander Claude Barabay. And we're going to dive into the topics that we want to bring up, but also, as always, via the chat room, you can dive in and ask us some questions you want us to address. And a little note about the speech to follow. I don't have the initial part of the recording, and this is part of the reason why I'm so glad to share this. The initial part of his speech is missing, because I was doing like we most do when we hear a keynote speech, is I try to decide when I can get another drink while it's going on, what food I can finish, and the speaker is going on in the background. Well, I had heard Admiral Stavridis speak before, and I know he's very good at this, and not just in style, but in substance. And after it got going, I said, man, I wish I had a recording of this. And I said, well, I can do that myself. And so I popped out the iPhone. So what I'm going to do, and I don't want you to miss the initial part of the speech, and if you want to read the whole thing, you can go to my homepage at my home blog at Commander Salamander, and you can download the transcript via a link to the Naval Institute. But I think you'll miss some of the audio if you don't get the intro. so if you'll beg my indulgences, I will read to you the transcript of the initial part of the speech. And when I get through babbling, then we'll click right to Admiral Stavridis. Just of note, there is a significant audio difference between what you're hearing here and what you'll hear from Admiral Stavridis. So, you know, adjust your audio as needed, which is the best we can do. So, enough of me. I'm going to shift over, and the following is the beginning of Admiral Stavridis' speech. And so we begin. Thank you very much, Tom, for that extremely generous and mercifully short introduction. Let me say right up front what a terrific group we have here tonight. Active duty, retired, soon to be commissioned, military and civilian, public and private sectors. This is simply wonderful to see. Great to see so many mentors from the years here, from Fox Fallon to Tom Marflat to Jim Barber to Fred Rainbow. Fred gave me my start in the pages of proceedings, and I will never forget it. And the Commandant of the Coast Guard, my good friend Bob Pack. Wow. Distinguished guests, friends, and colleagues, members of and supporters of the Sea Services, shipmates, all of you, good evening. Welcome and thank you so much for joining us. It is truly an honor for me to be here tonight. Thank you, Tom, for inviting me to speak at this wonderful event. I thought I'd limit my remarks to about 2 hours. Is that good for everyone? Get a drink now if you need one. I'm reminded at these honor nights of how old I'm becoming. These are sort of the five stages of a career, which goes like this. Who is Stavridis? I hear good things about Stavridis. Give me Stavridis to work on this. You know, we need somebody like Stavridis used to be. And then finally, who is Stavridis? I am approaching, if not passing through, stage five. In all seriousness, before I go any further, I'd like to underscore how I feel about the U.S. Naval Institute. A truly historic organization, and I would say a national treasure, because of its, your, our, tireless efforts to preserve, support, and strengthen our maritime heritage and contributions to national security. History has changed, generally chaotic change, and to recognize the waves that wash over us, to know the sea in which we swim, we need organizations like the Institute, with the press and the proceedings, highlighted by perhaps its most recognizable product, Proceedings, first published in 1874. I think I submitted an article for that first volume, actually. You continue to allow members and supporters of the Sea Services to express their thoughts, share their ideas, and at times challenge the conventional wisdom, sailing against the current, with or without the prevailing wind, as it were. And for what? For that, we are stronger as a nation, and I personally thank you. Along those lines tonight, I'd like to share just a couple of thoughts I have regarding a subject that is very near and dear to my heart and has been since I served as Salty Sam for the class of 1976, and that is the topic of writing. Over the years, I've often asked three questions. Why on earth do you write those articles and books? Where do you find the time to write given your responsibilities?
Your concern that your career is placed at risk for the things that you wrote. So let me hit those in kind of that order. And as to why I write, and I know the majority of people here in the room tonight have put pen to paper, have hung their thoughts out there at one time or another, I would say to become a writer, you must begin by reading. In the end, we all begin as readers. And I think of Voltaire and Shakespeare and Hemingway and Conrad, Faulkner, Fitzgerald, Ha Jin, the great Chinese-American writer, Elmore Leonard, Peter Terry, Ian McEwan. I could go on and on. But other writers inspire me. You begin as a reader. And then at some point, as you have read and read and read, you begin to say, what do I think about all this? How do I take those whispers that go through my mind, and how do I freeze them as thought so they can be examined and observed and evaluated? How do I do that? And in the end, you do that by writing. That's how you take those ideas that are whispers and you nail them to a wall, you freeze them, and then they become ideas that are part of a conversation, part of this dialogue that in our particular business, I believe, creates security. So that's why I write, to be part of that conversation, to take those ideas generated by so many other writers who go before and to freeze them and offer them for evaluation and hope that they become part of a conversation that helps deliver, in my case, security. Second question, how do you find time to do all that? Well, everybody in this room manages the most precious asset in their portfolio, and that is time. And I would say this, one very enjoyable aspect of my life and my career has been going to sea. As much as I've hated to be away from Laura and Julia, who are here with me tonight, our other daughter Christina, but if I have to be away from my family, to be on that rolling sea, it is a rare pleasure to find a moment after a mid-watch, after a day watch, after a morning watch, to read, to think, and then to write. And you will never find 4 hours or 6 hours on a ship, and Bob Pat knows this well, to sit down and write an article, write the chapter of a book, but you can find a moment or two capture a thought, to create a little piece, and then you build those pieces together, and over time they become an article, an idea, a chapter, and eventually I think they grow into a book. And so for all of us who aspire to write, I would say don't be daunted by the idea that you need an inordinate amount of time to sit and write that perfect article or chapter, but rather put pen to paper, start that process of creation, nail that whisper to the wall, freeze it, and make it part of this conversation and dialogue. Thirdly, and again, especially to the young writers in the room, like the young midshipman, Jack James, who is the midshipman blogger for the United States Naval Institute. I wish I had been a blogger when I was on the show. Sounds very cool. For all of you at any level, midshipman, ensign, lieutenant, lieutenant commander, three-star admiral, if you are worried about Mike Miller, the superintendent of the Naval Academy, three-star admiral, he's not afraid of his next career move, I don't think. Maybe he ought to be. For all of us, my advice is, take the risk. What are you afraid of? We live in a profession of arms. We risk our lives by definition. We fly aircraft like Mike Miller did, on and off aircraft carriers. We sail ships through Sea State 5, up through Alaska like Bob Papp did. We march down dusty trails in Afghanistan and Iraq, leading our platoons forward like great Marines. We do all those things, we take this enormous risk, and then we choke at the moment when we have the opportunity to take our ideas, read, think, write, and publish. Hang your ideas out there. Now, I will tell you freely, I encountered a couple of moments along the way when, I can think of two, when three-star admirals talked to Lieutenant Commander Stavridis and said, your career is over. Maybe not quite that direct, based on something I've written. But, you know, it all works out. And I think if you apply a little common sense, be careful of classification. Show a draft to your immediate boss, who should not be surprised when things are published. Write about things you know about, that you've experienced and understand. Find the right venue. blog for the Naval Institute, publish an article in the Institute, write for the War College Review, Naval War College Review, and don't attack people personally. Separate the idea from the personality. If you do those things, you will write, and I predict you will thrive and prosper. Even if your ideas are not always in sync with the time and the moment and your change of command. And I give you as witness Lieutenant William Halsey, Lieutenant Earl Halsey, Lieutenant Commander Chester Nimitz, Lieutenant Ernest King, Lieutenant Commander John Morgan, Lieutenant Commander Joe Sestak. What happened to all those guys? They published. They hung their thoughts out there. And in doing so, they presented their ideas in a way that became part of the conversation. So I would conclude by drawing a thought from a wonderful corporation, Wikipedia. I think probably most of us use Wikipedia on an almost daily basis, checking some fact. Well, here's the clue. Wikipedia, which is without question the greatest body of knowledge that's ever been assembled in human history, Wikipedia is not generated by a dozen smart people that sit in a room somewhere. Wikipedia is generated by thousands of people every day, inputting. They're adding their thoughts, their facts, their ideas to this great conversation. And every day, millions of people tap into Wikipedia to draw out from it. That's an amazing model if you stop and think about it. And the message of that model is that no one of us is as smart as all of us thinking together. No one person, no one nation, no one organization, no one alliance, no one of us is as smart as all of us thinking together. The vision statement of Wikipedia is terrific. I'm a fan of vision statements, a short sentence that sums up what an organization is all about. The vision statement of Wikipedia is simple and elegant and powerful to this point. It is a world in which every human being can freely share in the sum of all knowledge. A world in which every human being can freely share in the sum of all knowledge. By writing for the Naval Institute, you share, you contribute, you are part of the sum of all security. Thank you very much. It's been great.
Maloney wants to marry me, and so leave the stranded.